So just as a courtesy, please mute your lines when not speaking to eliminate background noise, and don't put the call on hold or we'll all hear the background music. So thank you very much for that. I'm going to go ahead and take roll call, and then we'll get started. All right, Judge Oxney? Thought I heard Judge Oxney. Are you there? All right, Judge Bremer?
Present.
Judge Butler?
Present.
Judge Cameron? Ms. Carter?
Here.
Judge
Cameron is here.
Hi, this is Judge Oxney.
Great, thank you, Judge.
Judge Hynex is here.
Excuse me, can you repeat that?
Judge Hynex is here.
Fantastic, thank you. Ms. Junior?
Present.
Mr. Kim?
Present.
Judge Nakamura? Judge Nakamura? Mr. Planet?
I'm here.
Judge Riff?
Here.
Judge Rockwell? Judge Rockwell? Ms. Sloan? She's out. And Ms. Turner? Both
here.
Are. Oh, Ms. Green. All right. Thank you, Kim. Okay. And then this is Kristen Greenaway at the JC. And also here we have.
Sorry for calling in late. This is Judge Rockwell. Just go off the bench.
Thank you, Judge Rockwell. We have Leah Rose-Quinn.
And Stephanie Cameron is present as well.
Thank you. And also on JC staff, we have Carolyn Burnaby and Nicholas Armstrong and Ms. Rose Butler. All right. Is there anyone else that is on the call that I didn't call? Is anyone just joining us?
Yes, this is Kirk Nakamura. Sorry for being late.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Kristen.
I will turn it over to Judge Oxney.
All right, first off, guys, I want to apologize in advance. We have an executive committee meeting today that I'm supposed to be in because of Thanksgiving. They moved it without telling me to today, and all of a sudden now I'm supposed to be in two places. So I'm going to go as far as I can go until my portion of the executive committee meeting starts, and then I have to go next door to that. The first thing I want to do is welcome our new member, this Judge Butler from the County of Monterey. So welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
This is an interesting committee to be on. There's a lot of us who have been on a long time, and so I encourage you to reach out to Leah and Kristen maybe to get a private primer so that you can catch up with us. You may know all this stuff. I know it's taken me like 10 years to even barely understand it. So, but we welcome you and happy to have some fresh eyes. And then our returning member, Judge Rockwell, thank you for re-upping. First thing I wanted to do was give you guys
a...
Pardon me? Judge Rockwell, are you there?
Judge Rockwell, yeah, I couldn't figure out my phone, so I was hitting the wrong buttons. But I do appreciate being back, and, yeah, I'm hoping in the next couple of years that I can gain a bit more mastery. This is a lot of great stuff, but very complicated.
Yeah. So in September and October,
Judge Oxney, can we get the can we do the approval of the minutes before we move on to the next item?
Oh, okay. Do I have a motion on the minutes?
Ms. Plan, I move to approve.
Second.
Stephanie Cameron, second.
Thank you. All in favor or any discussion?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Judge Hynex is abstaining. I wasn't present. Okay, thank you. I had a meeting in the two meetings. One was the Judicial Council and one was Jack, and since I've spoken to you all, and the concerns were really the same in both, so I'm glomming them together. the concern was the small courts being excluded from the study, from the actual judicial needs study for the purposes of reporting. And I also had one judge concerned that the PJ should be given a copy of our report when it's in draft form so they can point out any areas they think are incorrect prior to it going to the council. And I don't think that actually went anywhere with the council. They were, I think, appreciate that it comes to them first and they have a chance to vet it and to discuss it before it goes to any other committees. But I wanted you to know that was raised at least at the judicial council level at the meeting. And then at the TCPJAC meeting, the mainly was the concern about the small courts being excluded. So I mentioned that because it's something that I think will transcend into the next years on this committee, is how do we look at things. And the second item that I wanted to talk about is our annual agenda, which is due to the ENP on January 8th. And I talked to Marcia Slough, she is the new chair of ENP, a couple of weeks ago, because there was some concern, I guess, at the council level and at TCPJAC about why do we only do this every 5 years? If it's so important, why aren't we doing it more, getting more up-to-date information? And as you all know, it's a lot of work. And not only is it a lot of work for OCR, it's a lot of work for us, but it's really a lot of work for the trial courts that are in the trenches that are calculating and marking time. So I said to her, is there a movement to have us do it more often? And her response was a very thoughtful one. Of course, she's Marcia Slough. And it was, well, what do you think? And does your committee want to do it more often? And does the committee think it needs to be done more often? And do you want to change the way you do it? And so I think that's kind of the message that I've gotten from her. Also, she talked about, you know, have we ever taken the time in our committee to come up with metrics or principles or a mission statement, and is it time in 2020 to do that? Or do we just always want to kind of be flexible and change with the time? So that's one of the things that I want us to talk about at the next in-person meeting, where we really talk about our committee and where we see it going in the next 5 years. Do we see it happening more often, less often, more fluid or more flexible? So the annual agenda is going to be done for 2020. We'll be sending that out. One of the things I want to talk about when we do have our meeting is those things I just discussed that I talked with Judge Slough. We're going to be talking about what we're going to be doing in the next year, and I'm going to turn it over eventually to Kristen and Leah to talk about the nuts and bolts of that. But I wanted to know if anybody had any questions about my conversation with Marcia Slough. All right. So what we're going to be doing in next year is the looking at the resource assessment, the RAS model, the ARPS, which the adjustment request process, which Kristen's going to talk about in a few minutes, the review of the workload study and the process and methodology, and we're going to look at that in both the RAS and in the judicial needs. Then we have a couple of mandated studies, which we have to do for the legislature, the standards and measures, and the need for new judgeships and Superior Court updates. And so those are the kind of things that we're going to be doing, plus the my agenda item, which is to talk about the committee itself and our metrics or our principles. Does anybody else have anything that they wanted to add to what you think we should be doing next year before I turn it over to Leah to get into the weeds on the data and I jump over to my other meeting?
This is Judge Rockwell. I would think that if there's and I know it's a budgetary constraint, but if we can have more in-person meetings, some of this stuff is just so complicated that, like, being able to, like, see somebody's facial expressions when you have a question is sometimes really helpful.
I completely agree with you, and I've talked to Justice Miller and now Justice Slough about that exact issue. They have said absolutely that if we have a meeting that is complicated, we should meet in person. and that one meeting per year in-person rule, if it needs to be changed for us, it needs to be changed. Because we are under a lot of scrutiny, as we found in the last year, and we need to know our numbers, and we need to feel comfortable in what we do and say. And so I'm the first meeting in February that we're going to be setting up in the next couple of weeks will be an in-person meeting. And Kristen and Leah can talk about all the things that we're going to talk about there, but one of the things that we're going to be talking about are the metrics and standards for our committee principles, so that we are all on the same page.
That's great. Thank you.
Anybody else have anything that they think we should add to our annual agenda?
So this is Judge Heinrichs. The only thing that I thought maybe was instead of, I mean, when an area of law may have a lot of changes, say because of the criminal law, because of new requirements that came down, maybe we can do a more of a snapshot of how that changed to change the metrics for like criminal law and not everything, or if there's some other, you know, major change, how we might be able to capture some information in less than the whole area. And I just throw that out and certainly would want to hear what staff wants to say about it. But it may be that sometimes we don't need everything. We just need things have changed a lot in this area and we need to take a look at it a little closer, maybe to answer some of the questions that have come up spontaneously in different ways.
So you mean like doing a RAS assessment, but only in criminal?
Yeah, something came up that's going to, you know, that I know like the juvenile attorneys, there was a legislative bill that wanted them to be looked at separately, which, you know, both CJA and the council opposed because it's individual court's jobs to do that, but it may be that we need to have more precise information to respond to some other things, and it may be that. So I'm just saying that instead of everything, maybe there's a way to make it more rolling that gets us more current information as things change.
Okay, good idea. Something to look at and talk about at the meeting. So I think it's one of the things that we've got on our that Leah and Kristen are going to talk about is changing the current practice from, you know, the workload study and whether we do it we do a deeper dive in small courts. Whether we just focus on a case type, and that's all the kind of things we're going to talk about in February, I think. Kristen, did I miss anything that you needed me to weigh in on?
No, that you covered it all very well.
I'm not sure if it was well, but I covered it. Anybody have any questions of me before I slip out? All right, I apologize again for that doing that to you guys, but you're in good hands with Kristen and Leah. I will see you all in February.
Thanks, Judge.
Okay, bye.
All right. This is Kristen Greenaway. So I am going to pick up where Judge Oxney left off, and I wanted to touch on what we were just talking about, and that's the workload study approach methodology, and that's what we hope to cover a little bit at that February meeting. And so as I was putting these materials together, you know, we have the policies for these studies documented in the reports that we do, but we realize that we don't necessarily have kind of a working policy document. So one of the things, so you don't have anything in your materials that kind of documents the current methodology, and so over the next year we are going to start putting together that policy document in addition to beginning to start talking about how we can look at possibly doing these studies differently. And I think we just heard a couple great ideas. One, just in terms of for ourselves meeting more regularly, as well as looking at different approaches on how we capture that data, that rolling look at the data is an interesting approach. So just to kind of ground us, we do these studies every 5 years. We tend to look at them over a four-week period of time kind of concurrently. We do always try to pick a key points in the year that we think that there aren't a lot of vacations or holidays. We do a time study. The time study is done a little differently in the RAS and the judicial workload, but nonetheless it's capturing time, and we use three-year average filings. And those are some of our key aspects of the study. And we've been doing them similar to how we've been doing them since the beginning with we augment them each time, I think, a little bit. We do check in with the National Center for State Courts. I mean, this was kind of the methodology that they started us off with so many years ago. And then look at also what other states are doing. We did check in with them at the during the judicial workload study, and we didn't learn anything new really at that time, but I think it's always good to look at what other folks are doing when they do the workload studies. And then also look at that timeline, you know, is the 5 years appropriate? Is there a different way to do it outside of those 4 weeks concurrently? I love the idea of the rolling capturing when we know there's impacts to workload is a great idea. And then the other piece of it, I think as we see the data improving in our courts, are there ways that we can automate that data collection effort? So there's a lot of things to look at. I think this grew from, you know, I think Judge Oxney captured what happened in those last two meetings in terms of the input coming back, you know, in terms of eliminating the small courts from the calculation. But in general, what also grew out of those discussions was, are there different ways to look at this data and capture this data? So that's what that's kind of a quick overview of what we want to do in terms of that methodology, getting that policy document so that we know what we're kind of looking at and then moving forward and talking about how we can possibly approach it differently and get the committee's feedback on that. And that's, they kind of mentioned a year time frame. So that's why we're kind of talking about it in terms of what we'll look at next year and kicking that off pretty early.
So, Kristen, this is Sherry.
Ahead, no, go ahead. I was going to ask for questions.
Okay, so as you know, I have had serious concerns about the lack of granularity around the data collected, and I'm hoping that's part of the discussion as well, because I don't think the methodology correctly captures the different levels of complexity around the different kinds of cases that are lumped into very large broad baskets, nor does it properly allocate weights and measures and credit to the courts that have particular types of work. And I think that is the biggest issue that we need to resolve, because to lump all unlimited civil in a basket and all felony in a basket is a problem. And so I'm hoping that part of our discussion will be around the lack of granularity that we're capturing for the judicial needs.
Thank you, Sherry. Yes, and that it will be part of the discussion. All right,
so,
any other comments or questions?
Kristen, this is Mike Planet.
Yes.
My only comment is I hope that we would make sure that however we continue with the studies, that we kind of maintain the statistical rigor that we need so we can substantiate that our findings are, you know, are solid and not, you know, not ad hoc or you know, not backed up by a level of statistical significance that makes sense.
Yes, thank you.
That's my only comment on that, wherever we go.
So statistical significance has been used as a reason to not look at particular issues like capital cases. The problem with that is the statistical significance for the branch is different than statistical significance on a particular trial court. And so I agree with you 100%, Mike, that we have to keep incredibly good data and statistics and document and use transparency on what we're doing, but we cannot continue, in my opinion, to use statistical insignificance on a statewide level when particular types of matters and cases have huge impact on individual trial courts. And I think we've seen that and have created some categories for particular types of cases because we found that to be true already. So I agree with you. I look forward to the discussion, but I think there's a lot more discussion to be had.
So this is Kim Turner. Just a clarification. in my dim memory, I recall that we at one time had a capital case category. And I think when WAC was first constituted, that was one of the categories that we were tracking. And I think we eliminated it because there were not enough cases that fell into that category to make it, statistically relevant. Is that correct?
On a statewide basis.
Correct, Sherry, but it's all on a statewide basis.
No, it's not, because when you allocate work credit to individual courts, well, it might be, 0.02% of the statewide total of felonies. It might be, a much bigger significant piece of an individual trial court's calendar, because they may have a large percentage of their overall felony calendar with capital cases, where other courts would have zero. So the amount of work that they tagged on those cases was huge, but those courts that actually are handling them are then not getting credit for them. So these are the kinds of things I think we'll have to do in a live meeting, but I think we have to recognize that when we're allocating credit on work, the lack of granularity spreads everything to such a degree that those courts that have significant impact on certain kinds of cases are not being properly recognized.
Well, I look forward to that discussion because I think it's a worthwhile one to have. It would be interesting, I think, at that meeting to for the JCC staff to go back and to maybe pull together the information that we used to decide to eliminate the capital cases, way back when, however long ago that was, so that we know kind of what our thinking was then, and then we can validate it against what we're learning about today.
Yeah, and I think, we will go back and look at the capital cases. I think, I definitely know this has come up before, and we've looked at it. And again, I think the similar issues why we might have excluded either lack of data or not enough, but I think to Sherry's point, maybe how we look at it, there might be a different way to look at it than what we may have done in the past.
So yeah, it would just be interesting to look at our, review how we thought about this issue previously, whether we maybe want to look at a different kind of metric to measure that workload. Now, I don't know, it's all very theoretical because I cannot recall exactly what the discussion was way back when.
So this is just, and what I'd want to throw in is that, so first of all, I think we need to know how much of a different time allocation there would be in courts that are doing death cases between life without possibility and be able to do that. And the hard part about any of those numbers and not spreading them across all the courts is that they are a huge drain, but they don't, like in a smaller to medium-sized court, they don't happen all the time. So you can't really put them in an average. So how we as a court, as a branch, make that a fair allocation for those courts because that do have it and do have it on a regular basis as opposed to not is a drain. And I think even if we find out that there's no statistical difference, and I'm not jumping to that conclusion in our live meeting, I think the fact that we drilled down and looked at it significantly will help alleviate some of the concerns across the branch.
And I'm sorry I use capital case as an example, but that was an example for felonies. But I think there are similar issues related to other types of cases in unlimited and things like that. So my point is we can't really resolve it today. I do think that the need for the discussion around granularity on the types of cases thrown in these big baskets is important. So I did apologize. I didn't mean us to start talking about capital cases. That was just merely an example.
Great. Thank you. Is there any other comments or questions? Well, based on the discussion today, I think this will be a great discussion in February, so I'm looking forward to it. All right, the next item are the adjustment requests proposals. And I bring this to the attention for this meeting. We don't have anything to report in terms of data that we've collected, but these are, there are two, and I'll refer to them from as ARPs from here on out, two ARPs that have been referred to WAC. And so these are, this is a process that gives courts the opportunity to request an adjustment to the workload formula. So these requests come into the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, and then they're directed out to the appropriate committee with the expertise that relates to that request. So as I stated, two ARPs have been referred to WAC, and they're included in the materials. One is from Monterey, and then there's a joint ARP from Los Angeles and San Diego. And then there's an additional ARP that's in the materials that we will know if it's being referred to WAC after Thursday, and that's from El Dorado. So it's looking like that will come our way. So we'll have three of these adjustment requests to look at in this committee. And the proposal is to get these back. So we'll talk about them in the February meeting because we need to get some response back to tick back in March for the May Council meeting. So again, I stated that these are in your materials. I'll just briefly describe them. So the Monterey ARP is asking the committee to look at how language access services impact resource needs. And so we have begun working with Monterey to get some case level data that we can start looking at that issue. And the other request is that joint request from Los Angeles and San Diego, and that is requesting that workload related to hospital-based certification hearings under Welfare and Institution Code 5256 be included in the resource assessment study. And so we staff will work with Los Angeles and San Diego to better understand that issue and then determine how we can address that in terms of the workload model. And then the third request, again, has not been officially referred to WAC, but it looks like it will be coming our way. And that is, again, from El Dorado, looking at multiple locations and how that, especially in the small courts, and how that impacts the resource assessment study. So those are three requests that we will be under our purview in WAC to bring those back to tick back next year. And so we will include those in the February 2020 meeting and hopefully have something to show at that time. Are there any questions on the adjustment request process? All right. So the next item I have on the agenda is the mandated study. So those are, we have a couple mandated studies under our purview in WAC, and I just wanted to briefly talk about those. They are being submitted as we speak. They're due in November, both of them. The first one, the standards and measures that promote fair and efficient administration of justice. This is under required under Government Code Section 77001.5, and it's due annually in November. And it basically requires the council to report on judicial administration standards and the measures that promote the fair and efficient administration of justice. And so it includes standards and measures of trial court operations that includes caseload clearance, time to disposition, as well as others. So again, that's annual. We are in the process of submitting that now. It's due every November. And then the second one, which you're all familiar with, is just the assess judge need, the need for new judgeships in the superior courts. This generally, if this is a biennial report on even numbered years, it went this year in 2019. Because we were finishing up the judicial workload study and we wanted to get those new measures that we found in the study into the new assessed judge needs. So we submitted the 2018 report as a preliminary report and then submitted in 2019. So we will again be doing that, even though that's biennial, in 2020. So that is, those are both off to the legislature now, and I just wanted to draw your attention that those have been submitted. Are there any questions on the mandated studies? All right. So the next easy one is the next WAC meeting. So we will be scheduling that for February of next year. So we want to get it on the books. Our chair is now the PJ, and so we need to get some scheduling on the books fairly early. So look for a doodle poll this week, and we will try to get that February WAC in-person meeting scheduled, and then start talking about all these issues. It should be a full and lively meeting, so we'll get that on the books. Are there any other questions or comments before we end this meeting? All right. All right.
Hey,
well, thank you.
Chris, this is Mike. One thing before we go to, do we expect the February meeting to be in San Francisco or Sacramento? Do you know yet?
I think San Francisco, but we don't know. So we'll look at that. Any, dare I ask, preferences?
No, both are equally inconvenient to get to.
So San Diego?
Rockwell, I'm kind of biased, so I'll just step off.
All right. So we'll figure look at schedules and all the other factors that go into it, and we'll get that scheduled.
Great.
So I just want to say that you probably have it, but the Presiding Judges Advisory Committee and CX statewide meeting is the 6th and 7th of February.
Okay. We'll probably look a little bit later in the month, but yeah. Okay. Thank you for that.
Sure.
All right. Anything else? All right. Well, thank you all. I know this is a busy time, and I appreciate y'all making the time. And we'll look for the doodle poll, and we'll see you in February.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.